You're listening to Freethinker Radio on 90.1 KPFT Houston, your home for uncensored news and underground music since 2011. So this story is actually an opinion piece from the BMJ. It's called The Illusion of Evidence-Based Medicine, and it was published just recently on March 16th, 2022. And I just want to read a couple paragraphs. Again, what I was kind of setting the stage for is that I don't think this is going to be something that many of the listeners on KPFT might hear elsewhere. You might not even be aware this is out there, but it's something that's a message that we've been promoting at Freethinker Radio for a decade now. And that is that much of the health industry, medical industry has been captured by corporations which benefit from it. And this is being written now, not by Micah or Derek, but by the leading researcher, a research leader, and a professor emeritus, and published in the BMJ. Here it says, evidence-based medicine has been corrupted by corporate interest, failed regulation, and commercialization of academia. The advent of medicine, evidence-based medicine was a paradigm shift intended to provide a solid scientific foundation for medicine. The validity of this new paradigm, however, depends on reliable data from clinical trials, most of which are conducted by the pharmaceutical industry and reported in the names of senior academics. The release into the public domain of previously confidential pharmaceutical industry documents has given the medical community valuable insight into the degree in which the industry-sponsored clinical trials are misrepresented. And if you know, let's break apart that sentence. The release into the public domain of previously confidential pharmaceutical industry documents. I don't know what that's specifically referencing, but there are some links in this BMJ article. And of course, all this information will be linked at thehoustonfreethinkers.com. But it continues, until this problem is corrected, evidence-based medicine will remain an illusion. The philosophy of critical rationalism, advanced by the philosopher Karl Popper, famously advocated for the integrity of science and its role in an open democratic society. A science of real integrity would be one in which practitioners are careful not to cling to cherished hypotheses and take seriously the outcome of the most stringent experiments. This ideal is, however, threatened by corporations in which financial interests trump the common good. Medicine is largely dominated by a small number of very large pharmaceutical companies that compete for market share, but are effectively united in their efforts to expand that market. And it goes on from here. Again, I will link this at thehoustonfreethinkers.com. It is very, very well worth a read. I think that what's being written here is something that you might have seen written or proposed by myself and Micah over the last 10 years. Definitely topics that we've touched on, just the corruption within the pharmaceutical industry, how there are real reasons to be skeptical of products like vaccinations and many other medicines that are promoted by people with a vested financial interest. So now it's being, you know, this idea is being put out there by the BMJ, one of the biggest medical journals out there. And I think it's definitely worth your time and attention. So that's one story that, again, I don't think that's the version of events you might be hearing from about COVID-19 regarding, you know, in the mainstream regarding COVID-19. But let's jump over to another one. We've been bombarded with a misleading COVID death count for 2 years. This is just published a few days ago by the Pulse.one, as in one, O-N-E, a pretty good reputable source that I've been getting to lately. Scientists at the University of Oxford and charity Collateral Global have released a new report that shows there were fundamental flaws in the way COVID deaths were counted in the UK. Again, something that many of us have been saying for almost 2 years now. In some cases, people who did not even have COVID were categorized as a COVID death. There were 14 different terms that were used to describe those who died with COVID. And I want to take a moment to say that I am proud to say that I'm one of the only journalists that I know of in Texas and definitely in Houston that was questioning this. I actually called the Texas Department of Health to try to look into the reports that people who were dying with COVID as opposed to from COVID were being tabulated together, which obviously could lead to higher numbers than are, you know, that don't represent reality, basically. And that's just that those numbers, though, then were used by the media and other people to drive up the fear, to convince all of you that you should stay home and lockdowns are good, et cetera, et cetera. Whereas if we had a clear count of how many people actually died directly from COVID, not, oh, I had a COVID positive test and then I died in a car crash, which is actually things that happened, then we could have more accurate numbers. And again, we would have real evidence-based medicine, as the BMJ opinion piece was just calling for. But for whatever reason, and I'll let you decide, this is not what happened. And the article asks us to reflect on, why is the idea that COVID deaths have been overcounted considered a nonsensical conspiracy theory when there is legitimate evidence to suggest that it has? Why is this idea that COVID deaths have been undercounted not questioned and been pushed as, and why has, it says, why is this idea that the deaths have been undercounted been pushed in the mainstream? And why is there never an appropriate discussion of opposing views within the mainstream? And I think those are some good questions to consider. So, flaws in the way COVID fatalities were calculated have been emerging throughout the pandemic. There are multiple examples, and another one just emerged from scientists at Collateral Global. A new report spearheaded by Dr. Carl Hennigan, who's an epidemiologist and director at the University of Oxford's Center for Evidence-Based Medicine, and he was one of the most credentialed, I'd say, especially in the UK, people speaking up during this whole thing and talking about this from COVID versus with COVID. And he was attacked in the media, ignored largely, but many people like him and others have been talking about the problems with the PCR test and the problems with the death count and other things. So he has revealed that death counts regarding COVID were constantly bombarded with on a daily basis are not accurate. And the authors explain why this is important. Quote, death is a widely used outcome to assess the severity of pandemics. Accuracy in assigning the cause of death is of vital importance to define the impact of the agent, monitor its evolution, and compare its threats with those of other agents. Throughout the COVID-19 pandemic, there has been widespread report of aggregate death data with little attention paid to the accuracy of the assignment of causation. Now, the researchers went through 800 responses to Freedom of Information Act requests that were made by members of the public to medical institutions like hospital trusts and care homes, and they found multiple flaws in the way that COVID fatalities were being recorded in these different institutions. In some cases, COVID-negative individuals and those whose death was clearly not caused by COVID were still classified as COVID-19 deaths. The report also explains that in care homes, deaths were certified as COVID-19 by doctors doing their inspection via a video call. So no autopsy, just, oh, yeah, let me just look at that body from across the Zoom camera. Oh, yeah, she looks like she died from COVID. Go ahead and attribute that to COVID. Researchers found 14 different terms that were used to describe a person who had died with COVID. These include involving COVID, underlying COVID, died within either 28 or 60 days of a positive test, and due to COVID. Under all of these categories, deaths in each one were added to the total death COVID death count. Do you understand that? Can I restate the importance of this? And this is shouldn't be new information to our audience, but it is important as the theme here we're kind of reflecting on is the way that the media can get away with lying to you 1 year or 2 years ago, and there's no accountability. Researchers found 14 different terms, and each of these terms that I'm about to read all ended up with adding a death count, a total of one more death to the death count related to COVID. So if you had a death involving COVID, underlying COVID, or you died within having a test within 28 or 60 days, or just simply due to COVID, every single one of those would lead to one more death in the tally, one more death used to scare you into submission. And Dr. Hennigan told Eve Simmons, deputy health editor for the Mail, quote, it is incredibly important to understand the logical chain of events that led to death. But if every healthy body is using a different definition, how do we know whether COVID has directly caused the death or if it was something else that was underlying? 2 years into this pandemic, it is clear nobody can really understand or answer that question. And that is just, wow, it's astounding, guys. It's disturbing, it's astounding, and it's something we need to pay attention to. I wish I could say there was more people paying attention, more people asking these questions, particularly in the so-called mainstream corporate deadstream media, but that's what we should expect at this point. Now, I want to put one more story into perspective as we're looking at this. This one was being promoted around on the COVID-19 update channel, for those of you who are on Telegram, but it's coming from The Telegraph. England's chief medical officer admits school closures likely to have caused substantial long-term damage to children. Again, this is something else that I know Micah and I and Johnny were talking about at least a year ago because experts have been warning about this. Of course, those experts weren't the ones you were told to listen to. Those are the ones that have been called crazy, dismissed, and ignored. And here we are, though, 2 years into this thing, and England's chief medical officer, Professor Sir Chris Whitty, told a conference that many aspects of public health had, quote, gone backwards over the last 2 years, including a significant worsening in childhood obesity. He said that evidence suggests that there had already been an impact on mental health of children with a rise in eating disorders, but said that much longer-term consequences may yet be seen. Whitty also said elderly people have also suffered as the result of long periods of isolation. It came as research found soaring rates of depression and anxiety following the first lockdown. The prevalence of diagnosed depression went from 4% to 32% in 2020, the University of Bath study found it, while anxiety reports went from 5% to 31%. And Professor Witte also warned that a significant number of cancers were likely have to been missed as a result of screening tests and all that being halted, meaning cases would be caught later when they are harder to treat. So there you have it, guys. I mean, I don't know what else to say there, but those three stories we just covered, an editorial piece from the BMJ warning about evidence-based medicine essentially being an illusion until the corruption is fixed, the reality that we've been bombarded with lies about the COVID death count for 2 years now, and finally, admissions by people in the mainstream, at least in the UK, that children are being harmed by this, as we have been warning and saying we need to consider the consequences of how this is going to affect the coming generations. Not to mention, as that article pointed out as well, the elderly generations. I know people, definitely in my family and other families, who have been isolated because of this. Because of their age and their maybe their health, they've been more afraid to go out and to be exposed to whatever's going on around there. And because of that, they've been isolated. That's not a fun place for anybody to be, but it is a reality that we have to contend with. It is a reality that some people are dealing with. And I hope that many of you will think about that, because as I said earlier, this isn't the version of events I'm sure you're hearing on KPFT or NPR or any of the other corporate media in Houston.